Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, as I continue in the book of Nehemiah, and our theme is rebuilding for the next generation, my message is entitled, Overcoming Strife, Overcoming Strife with Godly Strategies. Overcoming Strife with Godly Strategies. Powerful book, this book of Nehemiah. Today I read from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4 to 15. And I want you, as I'm reading it, to look, keep an eye as you're reading it, on the many conjunctions in this passage, because wherever there's a conjunction, there's coming a change. As I was writing this, I went, I could preach this message just on the conjunctions. It's a second message. I'll pull it out some other time. But you just take a note of it, because that's not my message today, but it is a message all by itself. Nehemiah chapter 4, online, would you stay with us and read through? Then I prayed, hear us, our God, for we're being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders. Verse 6, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, the Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Verse 10, then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build this wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who live near the camp, verse 12, the Jews who live near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by the families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then, as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Verse 15 and last, when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to work on the wall. My God, your word speaks all by itself. Your word preaches all by itself. Your word teaches all by itself. Your word instructs all by itself. And your word, oh God, guides all by itself. So, Father, use these few words today from this vessel. But Lord, open up the minds of every person to hear their own message from the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Protect what you are rebuilding with godly strategies. Godly strategies. Last week, we saw the buildup of intimidation from the enemies of God's people. The enemy's strategy was to pose intimidating questions to foster fear and distrust. And if you did not hear last week's message, please go online, our website, and you will be able to go back on our sermon on demand and hear it, because it lines this message up. And so they're a twin message that you need to put together. So now this chapter continues, and we begin to see that human nature is again showing its colors. See, whenever one person attacks you, be sure some other people who always had an agenda will join them. Talk to me this morning. You see, these are the cowards who hide behind others to accomplish their evil deeds. They already had an agenda, but they don't know how to come forward with it. So the minute one steps forward, they come up behind. That's kind of how bullies work, right? They show up, and then others who want to be a bully show up behind them, and they make themselves what? A group. So here now, meet Tobiah. Tobiah is one of those hidden cowards. But at this point, the Jews were completely surrounded by enemies, not just a Sanballat and a Tobiah, but there were five enemies that surrounded them from every side. From the north was Sanballat the Horonite. Just the word alone sounds like an hornet. From the northwest, but spanning right across all the border of Jerusalem, was Tobiah and the Ammonites. The Ammonites were always angry at God's people. From the northwest was the Samaritans. It's the Samaritans that border Jerusalem, all along the line of Jerusalem. From the east was Tobiah and the Ammonites. And the Ammonites were angry at God's people all the way back from Genesis. Then from the south was Gershom and the Arabs, and we will meet them later. And at the west was the Ashdodites, and these are descendants of the Philistines. Need I remind you who the Philistines were to God's people? That's where the Goliaths came from. So Sanballat was successful in getting others stirred up into the fight against the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And they all had their own reasons, but the children of God were just trying to restore civility and a pride and a strength and protection and peace to their nation. And the Bible says when Tobiah heard, he began taunting them, ridiculing, which I mentioned last week. But he was like, well, what are they building? Even a fox could climb on it, would break down their wall of stone. See, foolish statements will only impact foolish people because they do not process facts. Do you ever hear someone, they're all gone crazy over a foolish statement? You're like, what is the problem? So they said it. Is it true? No, it's not true then. Get over it. Foolish people fall apart when they don't listen to what the Spirit is saying to them, but they listen to the ridicule of someone who's trying to destroy them. As Christians, may we open our ear to the Spirit, not to the voices of the world. Because guess what, friends? Even Jesus suffered ridicule. Remember, Herod requested that Jesus do some type of miracle to prove he was God. Pilate accused Jesus of being the false king of the Jews and dressed him in a purple robe and taunted him with a crown of thorns on his head. And even, imagine Jesus, the Son of God, he's on the cross, and even the little lowly soldiers were saying, hey, if you're the Christ, come down. Aren't you glad Jesus is so full of goodness and grace? Because if one of us was on that cross and some little lowly soldier was, come on, anybody else would join me? But remember, even Goliath got angry at David. Why? Here's the Goliath taunting them for 40 days, big old bully. 40 days and 40 nights. And then here's this rugged little boy coming with just a couple of stones in a bag, and Goliath's like taunting him, ridiculing him, saying, who do you think you are coming to me? And all of that's like, Goliath, if you're that big, why don't you just come after the little boy? Why do you have to ridicule? Because see, bullies look big, but they're actually afraid. Young people, remember that. So my question today is this. Why was the enemy so upset at these feeble people? And I want to remind you of the answer. When God's people work with enthusiasm amidst their own struggles, the devil fears their joy. Do you know people hate your spiritual enthusiasm? Do you know there are people who are like, oh, I can't worship there. They're too passionate and too loud. And oh, yeah. Well, guess what? We see the power of God at work. Do you know the devil fears when you are joyful. If you walk around going, I'm so depressed. I've got so much problems. I'm going to die. The devil and all his cohorts are happy. But when you say, oh, I got so much problems. I'm fighting a battle. It's like, what? If you're fighting a battle, it should look like you're dying. You're like, not in Christ. Come on, folks. The Bible reminds us in Romans 12:12, rejoice in our confident hope. What kind of hope? Confident. Be patient in what? Trouble. And do what? Keep on praying. That's all we've got to do. So many people today, you're broken down because you're ridiculed in your life stresses. And rather than stand up and work for the Lord with enthusiasm and declare the greatness of God, even when you can't see the answer, knowing that He's still a way maker, He will make a way where there is no way. When you get to the point when you know who makes a way, you don't allow the devil to sit on your shoulder and bring depression. We have enough depression in our society today. What we need are people who will show that God is still the God who does miracles. So when the enemy rages, friends, God grants wisdom. When he rages, God grants wisdom. One commentary says, Nehemiah must have had a good intelligent system because the distressing scene that were surrounding them, five armies, it changes abruptly when Nehemiah heard their insults. I want to tell you something, folks. We're all fearing AI, artificial intelligence. AI just showed up in this decade. But can I tell you AI existed from when God said, let there be light? You know what that was? Almighty intelligence. Y'all need to know, AI is a copy of Almighty Intelligence. And I'm going to rely on the Almighty Intelligent God who will speak words of wisdom into my life. Some of us are afraid to hear what God is saying. But I'm going to tell you, when you do not respond to the ridicule of society, you will stand in an intelligence that says, God will show me what to do. Anybody with me this morning? So Nehemiah, verse 4 to 5. Then I prayed, hear us, O God, for we're being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their heads, and may themselves become captives in a foreign land. See, Israel had been captives for 7 years. And he's saying, if you want to ridicule us, I'm going to ask God to put you into the same captivity. That's powerful. Then Nehemiah says, do not ignore their guilt. Do not block out their sins, for they have provoked who? Who have they provoked? Talk to me, church. Who have they provoked? They've provoked you to anger here in front of the builders. See, sometimes we're fighting God's battle when God can fight his own battle. Sometimes we're so caught up, if I don't do this, the church is going to fall apart. I'm sorry, did you build this? Because I heard in the word, it says, upon this rock, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here is a, whoa, Nehemiah, what kind of prayer is this? What kind of prayer is this? I want to tell you what it is. Proverbs 3 tells us, instead of fearing, it says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn from evil. But Psalmist David says, let all the earth fear God. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Sometimes we spend too much time fearing the devil rather than fearing God. Sometimes we're showing the world how to fear everything around them rather than fear the God whom we serve. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in the Lord means safety. fearing people. Do you know many Christians fear what somebody's going to say? Pastor, what if they say this about you? If it ain't true, it's not my problem. You want to pack your own bag? Pack it. Because if I go to the airport, folks, I don't pick up somebody else's baggage. I pick up mine. Whatever is in it is mine. What's in somebody else's is theirs. Stop worrying about what everybody thinks about you, because you will never accomplish what God wants for you. Fear God, not people. And so when you begin to fear God, you will pray faith-filled power prayers. Faith-filled power prayers. Hear us, oh God, for we're being mocked. Folks, this is not witchcraft prayer, and I got to identify this to you. Witchcraft prayer is when you pray against others, when you pray evil prayers because of jealousy, anger, resentment, because you're hurt, or you're divisive, or you want your own way. Nehemiah was not praying for his own way. Do you know there are people who pray, it's called witchcraft prayer. You hurt me? Oh God, strike them. Why would he strike them? Maybe you did something wrong and they retaliated. God is a righteous judge. Or somebody's jealous. Oh God, don't give them what they're asking for. Why? Because you want to be the only one to have it? Witchcraft prayer, which is devilish prayer, manipulative prayer, prayers that God will not hear, is when you're praying out of your own desire to control, to be lifted up, to have your pride lifted up, to be better than others. God will never hear it. But righteous prayer, faith-filled prayers, is when you look the enemy in the eye and you say, not here, not now. Do you know what Nehemiah said? In front of all these builders, you five nations came, and you ridicule the feeble, weak people who have been beaten in war for how many years? Do you know what? Pull that verse back for me if you can, Annie. In verse 10, I believe it is. Pull verse 10. Just, there it is. The people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired. Why are they saying that? Because the five kings are saying, you feeble people, do you think you could rebuild this? And see, it gets into your spirit. Now the people of Judah begin to complain. The workers are getting tired. And remember, what did the Sanballat say? Do you think you could take all this rubble and make stones? So now the same Christians are going, and there's so much rubble to be moved. And then we'll never be able to build a wall by ourselves. Why? Because the enemies around them were saying, you can't build this wall. A fox, Tobias said, a fox could. So all of a sudden, their faith is destroyed. Their hope is destroyed. Their strength is diminished. Their peace is gone. That is when the enemy is stripping God's people of everything. So when Nehemiah began to pray, Nehemiah is saying, God, do you see what they did to the people? The people were working with enthusiasm, though they're weak and feeble and have no tools. And these people came and sowed lies in their spirit. Now they're falling apart. So then Nehemiah begins to tell them, you could change that text. And Nehemiah begins to pray, God, deal with them, because they are making you angry. Somebody didn't get it online. Somebody didn't get it in house. Do you know what? The reason the church is so weak is that we're afraid to remind the devil who he's fighting. I remember using this text in 2017 when we had a power meeting, and I said to someone, do not frustrate this church. Some of you remember. I said, do not frustrate this church, because if you frustrate this church, then you're frustrating my God. And if you frustrate God, I will ask God to frustrate you. And the person said to me, a person of power, said, are you threatening me, Reverend? No, I'm not threatening. I said, I'm just going to pray it. Can I tell you? I won't call it out, but do you know? My board knows. God took care of it. God has given us so much favor now. Board members, hasn't God given us favor? God's given us so much favor. You know why? I wasn't fighting for me. I was fighting for what God wants to do in this Durham region. And the devil is fighting us. So when the devil is fighting you, don't go dirty with the devil. Go faith-filled back to God. Somebody feel it this morning. So let me give you how we're going to overcome. Overcome the tactics of the enemy with four godly strategies. Four godly strategies. This is what you need to put in your Tim storyline. Oh, good Lord. I get it wrong every week. Would you please take a picture of this and put it in your Instagram story? I don't have time for social media, so when I don't know all the new social media terms, it's okay. It shows you that I'm not staying with it. But I will learn it for the sake of we got to move on. This goes well on your Instagram story. Overcome the tactics of the enemy with four godly strategies. One, be on your guard, stand your ground. Do not be afraid. Know your God and trust God's power. Let me break these down in a moment for you. Just keep it up there for a minute. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. So I place the guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Folks, if we are going to build for the next generation, we have to stand not just for ourselves. That's what's depleted the churches. We were always building just for ourselves. My light, my want, my desire, my hope. My worship, it's not about us. It's about building up the kingdom of God for every generation behind us, even when we are gone. It says here, when our enemies heard that we knew of their plans, that God had frustrated them, we all returned to work on the wall. They went back to their enthusiasm. I want you to recognize today that the discouragers will always come around you to trip you up. But you have to choose how you will behave when discouragers come. They will always show up. And they will show up and diminish you so you're looking at the physical. But when your fight is in prayer, they cannot diminish anything in you because he who stands with you will fight your battles. So be on your guard. That's the first thing Nehemiah told them, stand your ground. It was rumored that the alliances would come around to attack these feeble Jews, and they had no defense. And none of this made sense, for they were just rebuilding a broken down city, and they didn't have any military power. Why are five different nations coming after them? You could hear it replicated today. Does anyone get it? But always note, the enemy will attack just when you begin to rebuild because his plan is to make sure you do not restore what is right. He doesn't want the church to restore right morals, confidence, power in prayer. And so he will always attack. And Nehemiah heard the news that the attack would come from many sides and it would come unexpectedly. Already, some of the people were numb with fear, and fear was starting to take over. But fear is not how we fight. We fight in faith. So he armed the people. Stand your ground. Folks, you got to be armed in the word. You got to be armed in prayer. You got to be armed in worship. He armed the people, and he exposed them and he positioned them at the weak areas that were exposed, reminding the people that if we fight for the next generation, we will fight with power. If you fight for yourself, the selfishness will just cause you to just, the enemy works with you. But when you fight for others, he can't fight you. So I got to ask a question. What are the weak and exposed areas in your lives and in your homes? What are the weak exposed areas? And how will you fix these? Because God wanted to bless Israel. So he says, fill in the gaps. Fill in the weak, exposed area. God wants to bless you. Fill in the weak, exposed area. Don't just pretend they're not there. Fill them in. Okay, the people needed to know God's power. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah 4:12, the Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. Folks, you know, there are God-fearing people out there that are not in the church, and they will stand with you because they want to see morality restored. There's God-fearing. These are Jews who were also exiled, and they're living in all of these different countries now, and they're hearing the rumors of what's going. So they came to Israel. Why? They were making the choice of which side they're on. Can I encourage you today, make the right choice early as to which side you're on, because sometimes if you live too close to the enemy, you begin to forget where your foot is. I'm talking to someone this morning and someone online. If you live too close with the enemy, if you're too surrounded by immorality and worldliness, sometimes you don't even remember who you are and what side you're on. Somebody online, you better say an amen or a God help me. Because when you make a decision to follow Christ, you got to watch where you put your foot. Amen? So I want to encourage you today, if you decide to follow Christ, follow him wholeheartedly. Follow him wholeheartedly. As we saw those who went in the baptism tank, I love what Tim said, no turning back. I'm going all the way. Folks, that's who we are when we're with Christ, and we do it with enthusiasm. Even when the enemy is surrounding us, we got to be enthusiastic in the things of the Lord. The second point Nehemiah made is this, don't be afraid. Nehemiah reminded them, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid of the people. Let the world around you see that you fear God. He says, as I looked over the situation, I called them and I said, listen, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember who your God is. We'll get to that. But constantly open your mind to the positive voice of the Spirit, not the negative voice of the world. Oh, you know, Pastor, this church is never gonna go, and there are some that we've seen transitions of people, and some of you are like, oh, you know, some of the best people leave. I'm sorry. So who are these, the worst? I need you to know you're the best of the best. You're cream of the crop. You're God's assignment. He's put you on assignment here for kingdom value. And he's got plans and purposes over your life that are unchangeable. And he has set his hand and his watch over you. And his favor is going to rest upon you. And his peace is going to be instilled in you. We're going to see a revival in this place that will blow the top off of Durham. Because we believe it's time for a revival. So don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You know what? Isaiah 41 is one of my favorites amongst my many favorites. And here's what Isaiah said. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. That's the Lord speaking. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will what? Strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Everybody online included, read this with me. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Can the devil break my God's righteous right hand? Can he pull down my God's righteous right hand? He says, that's the hand I'll hold you up in. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of the things of the world. Fear God and keep him holy. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us what? A spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. If we are rebuilding for the next generation, we better start living this, because every second child seems to be now full of fear and timidity and all kinds of new diseases. But when the church knows who their God is and not live in the spirit of fear, the next generation will see and know our fight is against the adversary tearing down generations, and he's tearing them down by the way we behave. Weak and feeble when our God is mighty and formidable. Know your God. Don't let the negative discouragers get inside your spirit. You know what Nehemiah says? Remember the Lord, who is what? Great and glorious. Do you remember who your God is? So every time you hit the battle, remember who your God is. Who's your God? Nehemiah says in the first chapter when Nehemiah was leaving the palace in Susa, here's what he says. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commandments. What's God going to do? Keep his covenant. Do you love him? Do you love him? Online, do you love him? If you love him, you know what he says? If you obey his commandments, his covenant of unfailing love is with you. Can anyone change God's unfailing love? His covenant of unfailing love is with you. Many of you know I have this puppy that I got. And I'm overwhelmed because she's become, there's a little bit of anxiety where I can't leave her. And when I leave her for 5 minutes and she acts like I've left her forever. Her heart's pumped, and the vet said, I've got to be careful because she could end up with heart issues because she goes, like, she's gone, and she bark, and it drives me crazy. But every so often it reminds me, that's what God's unfailing love is like. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's constantly wanting to be with us. That's what it keeps reminding me, God, this is how you constantly want to be with us. Folks, can I tell you today, the Lord your God is the God of heaven. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He's the great God, the mighty and awesome God who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. So guess what, folks? You can trust God's power. He will frustrate the enemy for you. He will frustrate the enemy for you. Trust God's power. Who is the Lord? He's the God Almighty. Who is he? He's the God who is with you. Who is he? He's the God of love and favor. He's not talking about love today, no love tomorrow. He's talking about unfailing love. Unfailing love. Are you hearing me today? Unfailing. Unfailing. Oh, tell somebody. I mean unfailing. Oh, online they were so wimpy, it's stressful. Tell somebody with passion, he's unfailing. Here's my last passage for you. I want you to take this in. For the Lord our God, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord our God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who is doing what is right. Nehemiah reminded them of a number of things that we need to remember. He says this, godly strategies. Just go back and put that slide all the way back for me, Annie. Overcome the tactics of your enemy with 4 godly strategies. What are they? Be on your guard. Because the devil hates you. And when you're on your guard, you don't just go, I'm on my guard. It says, stand your ground. Stand your ground. And then he says, don't be afraid. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't be afraid. And why won't you be afraid? Because I know my God. Great and awesome, mighty in power, unfailing love. The God who is relentless in loving me. And because I know of his unfailing love, I can trust his power. His power is limitless. And he gives grace where there seems to be running out. And he gives glory when it seems to be none left. When it seems that my faith is weakening, he says, just look at the glorious God who has called you to himself and know his might and power. Can somebody receive today? No good thing will he withhold from me if I walk righteously. Say it with me. No good thing will he withhold from me if I walk righteously. Now you need to say it again. No good thing will he withhold from me if I walk righteously. So don't be afraid. Remember your God. Stand your guard. Know your God. Trust your God. Are you hearing me this morning? This is a message of encouragement to you. Worldwide audience, online congregation, I'm just here to encourage you. Keep your foot on the right side. Don't let the enemy come. Don't worry about how many. 5 different nations coming against feeble people. The world's going to come at you from every side, every side. But you got to just know your God. You just got to know your God. Father, help us as your people to go forth from this place carrying the victory in our spirit. That we, oh God, yes, we will stand our guard. We will stand our ground, but we shall not be afraid. We know who our God is, and we trust in your power. For you've already won every battle for us. And everyone before us shall be won by the power of prayer. So we declare today, God, our faith is in you. Strengthen those who are weak. Strengthen those who are feeble. Help those, oh God, who are struggling, and fill with faith those who are fearing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we send the word through the airwaves to every person today. God, whether they are sick, stressed, or strong, we say, know who your God is. And we say this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.